Greetings in Jesus' name to each one here this morning. The one that went all the way to Calvary, he went for me. Praise God for that. Enjoyed the service thus far. Songs were very appropriate. Devotions was very inspirational. Been richly blessed. And I do hope and pray that the service will be one that draws your love and appreciation for Jesus even deeper than it is at this very moment. And so that's why we're here. And I do want to say I enjoyed having the privilege of visiting your home. I just went to 10 homes. That was good for starters. And I really enjoyed it. It was a blessed time. And I was glad to hear that most everyone could just answer the council meeting questions readily and quickly. And that's good that you're living in that way. That's good. And keep living that way. It's nice that we could answer those questions anytime and be clear for communion anytime. That's the right way to live. So God bless you for that. And appreciate the ones that have brought some thoughts to our minds. We appreciate that. We take it seriously, what you say. And we'll try by God's grace to see how the Lord can help us work through different things. But I am glad we're here to commemorate Jesus' death. And you know, I had to think many times on communion morning, we look at Jesus' death closely, and that is very good. And you know, to remember that the death on the cross was so gruesome to the Romans, they wouldn't allow Romans to be killed, to die that way. It was too shameful for a Roman to die that way. But our Lord died that way for us. It was a very gruesome death. But he could have died that way, and if some spiritual dimensions didn't happen, it wouldn't have made any difference. But it was planned by God from before the creation of the earth that his sacrifice would be atoning for us. As it says in Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." It was that way. Thousands of years ago, God let us know that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and without blood, you would be dead. And without the blood of Jesus, every one of us would be dead spiritually. So the blood is so important. It maketh atonement for the soul. And so we think about, well, my blood is pretty important. And I read up a little bit. It's amazing what all your blood does for you. It carries oxygen. In fact, it clots. If it wouldn't clot when you had a cut, it would just drain out. Guess what? You'd be ceasing. And your blood is amazingly wonderful. But it doesn't compare with the value of the blood of Jesus for our spiritual walk. It doesn't even compare. So the title of the message is The Power of the Blood. So we're going to look at that a little bit closer this morning. In fact, it was so important, blood, that blood is mentioned 447 times in the scripture. 447 times. Now people say, well, you kind of have a bloody religion. Yes, we do. Without blood, our religion is in vain, because we wouldn't be forgiven. So we do, in essence, have a bloody religion, and it's very important. So I've got basic three or four points, and we'll go through them without further mentioning probably God's provision for forgiveness. So it's God's provision, it's man's position, then we can have peace, and then the blood's potency and power, and then some of the results of this, and they'll be mixed a little bit. Now you do remember that in the Old Testament there was a type of Christ right up front in Exodus 12 verses 12 and 13. Exodus 12 verses 12 and 13, and this is God speaking to Israel, and he was getting ready to smite the Egyptians with death and deliver the children of God that obeyed him. He said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. For the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And it's never changed. It's never changed. Praise God. Because he said, look, you know, that Passover night, what took a lot of preparation. And you know, coming to communion worthily takes some preparation too, doesn't it? And it's good that we do that preparation because it's very important. But he said, you know, you strike the blood. You know, you have to prepare this lamb in a special way. You have to do a lot of things in a particular way and do it just right. And, you know, he said, then you know what? When I come and I see that blood on the doorpost and on that lintel, I'm going to pass over. The death angel will pass over you. Isn't that wonderful? We have the same privilege this morning. Yes. There, we don't think about the death angel, but without the blood of Jesus on our sins, you know what? We're consumed with doing evil. We're consumed with doing evil. We don't really think much about it. But I praise God, it hasn't changed. When he sees the blood on our sins, we have been forgiven. Our redemption has been purchased by the blood of Jesus, and it's tremendously amazing that when he shed that blood on that cross, and he shed a lot of blood even before it with the thorns and the scourging. And, you know, it's hard to imagine that. And yet he was willing to do it because he knew that he must shed his blood for your sins and mine. And he was thinking of us. He knew that we needed forgiveness. What a blessing. Now I'd like to read a few verses now from Hebrews 9, verse 7 and 11 to 14 and 22. Hebrews 9. Starting at verse 7. Now this is after the sacrifice, and it shows some of the blessings and the provisions of Jesus' blood and what it does for us. And into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Now I'd like to jump down to verse 11. But Christ, he's saying, okay, every year they got a sacrifice. And it has to be blood involved. There, you know what? It's not effective. It's of no good. But then he goes, he said, you know what? There's a better way. There's a better way. Verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, and having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What a tremendous passage. Now I read verse 22 yet before I go on. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, aren't you glad that you didn't have to wait a year from now for the high priest to go in and make atonement for your sins? And you live in guilt between now and then. You know, we don't have to live that way. But that's the way it was in the Old Testament. They lived in a lot of guilt. But thank God it was foreshadowed, that shedding of blood of those animals of Jesus. But he entered with his own blood into the holy place to bring redemption for us. And that is once for all. He did it once for all. More, it says, And then verse 13 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who to the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience? Now, earlier it spoke of something there, and I'm not sure what all it means when the sprinkling of heifers, the heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified the appearing of the flesh. But we do know that there were some sprinkling sessions. If you read Leviticus, and I've often wondered how it would feel to be sprinkled with blood, but I'm not interested enough to know to really try it. And yet it was an external cleansing. It was an external cleansing, and it was supposed to represent an internal cleansing, but it didn't always do that because it was external. I thank God that Jesus is an internal cleansing. It's from the heart. You can come to Jesus, and you ask him for the forgiveness for your sins, and you get internal cleansing. I thank God for that. Because the sprinkling of blood, you know, you can wash all you wanna, and you can have your skin shining and glowing and be a sinner to the core. And that happens sometimes, and we don't want to go there. But I praise God, we get an internal cleansing, and then our thoughts and our actions and our attitudes show the internal cleansing. Because we love holiness, we love doing what's right. We love the church. We love Jesus, and we appreciate him. See, the power of the blood. It's everything to a saint. It's everything. Because without it, we'd be guilty and condemned. It's a terrible position to be in. But it says, you know, you can purge. The spring of blood purges your conscience from dead works. And you see some dead works. You can talk to people, and they say, well, I tithe. Well, God bless anybody for tithing. It won't get you to heaven if that's the only good work you do. It'd be a dead work. You can even talk nice most of the time. You can even be nice some of the time without Jesus. Now, be nice all the time, I think, takes Jesus' help, personally. You know, and yet you can be nice. Yet you can have yourself. You can go to church every Sunday morning. It can be dead works. But all the above are done by a saint that has the heart cleansed by the blood of Jesus. All the above is done by them, and then it's a manifestation of the works of Jesus in your heart. What a tremendous blessing. We don't live by dead works. Works that are meaningful, that are an outflowing of a cleansed heart and love for Jesus, aren't dead works. They're works of righteousness, the scripture talks about. Praise God. As his people, we enjoy that. I could go on for a while, but I have a few more things to say. So I'll go to verse 22, where it talks there about without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And remission means freedom and pardon. Now, we were all in jail by Satan. We lived in sin. We were all in jail by him. We were his captive. I don't know if you thought of it that way, but that's true. In fact, whenever we fall back into habitual sin, we're becoming imprisoned in bondage again. I hope you've never experienced that. I have at times. You get into these ruts, and they're not godly ruts sometimes. You know what I mean? And so you're getting in that bondage. It says, okay, the blood of Jesus, without it shedding, there's no remission. There's no freedom. And there's no pardon. Wow, the power of the blood gives us freedom and pardon from sin. It's also translated deliverance, forgiveness, and liberty. And it's also spoken of when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26:28, where it says, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And you know what? When a person has cancer, and they treat them with whatever treatment, and they say your cancer is in remission, you know what? They're praising the Lord. Because that means it's put down. That doesn't mean it might be all gone, but they're going to feel a lot better. It's in remission. And you hope and pray it never comes back. Sometimes it does. And that's kind of the way sin is. You ever think about it? Your sins are in remission. If they're beneath the blood, they're in remission. They're down. It's not dominant. You don't have to think about every day your past sins. No. You can go on. But you know what? Any day you give in, they're popping back up. When you're giving in, the cancer's popping back up. And guess what? The cancer treatment's always there. It's the blood of Jesus. You don't have to go to the doctor. You have to go to the great physician. You don't have to go to Sentara. You can go to the great physician, and you can get cleansing. The sin can be in remission. You can have pardon. What a tremendous blessing that Jesus shed his blood for our sins. And so, we just need to thank God. I don't think about remission that much, because I say that word's used so much in a context that we don't like to think about. But I'm glad that your sins and mine can be in remission. That's a real blessing. No wonder Peter said in 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I hope the blood is precious to you. I don't know when you need it last, but I need it rather recently, the blood of Jesus. Because I mentioned to y'all something I need to be taken care of for communion, and I did that. And I got forgiveness. I asked God for forgiveness, but I asked somebody else for forgiveness of my sin. And you know what? I got forgiveness. I praise God for that. So, you know, we walk as people as feet of clay. And I praise God that precious blood was as good as your last sin. And that's a tremendous blessing that we can be forgiven. You know, we come to Jesus just as we are, to leave forgiven, to be not again like we was. Can you follow that? We're changed, we're forgiven, we're renewed in man, and we don't want to commit that sin. We don't want to go back to that. You know, so many times we are, oh, you know, I made a little slip up. You know, I really should do better than that next time. And I hear things like that. Yeah, that's very true. That's kind of a lame way to confess our sins, isn't it? Well, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone that comes to the age of accountability is in that bracket. Every last one of us. When we come to the age of accountability, we realize that we were sinners, and we were sinners that needed the blood of Jesus. And I praise God we could receive that blood on our lives. Yes. David knew how to repent. He sure knew how to sin too. I'll just say that. But you know, I think if we would look at our past, I wonder what the commentary would be. I think God would have to say, he sure knows how to sin too. Well, I'm just saying we fit in the bracket of David, okay? I hope we fit in the bracket of David on humility to repent. Now we're talking about man's position, okay? Nobody will appreciate the blood of Jesus and avail themselves of that privilege without a lot of humility, okay? Because it's easy to justify our sins, to excuse it. You know, if you'd have been around those people, well, just a little thing, you know? And, oh, you know, man, that person, he's so hard to get along with. You know, he deserved a tongue lashing. Well, from a Christian? I mean, you know, no. You read Psalm 51. I acknowledge my sin before thee. What a beautiful testimony. Yeah. When's the last time a revival means you heard somebody stand up and do that? When's the last time we heard that, period? I see, you know, in other words, if we're going to be those that are really cleansed and follow Jesus, we're going to have to be really humble. And I think that's what made David a man after God's own heart, was his humility. He was amazingly humble when he saw himself as he really was. And you know, I just praise God that we can live that lifestyle. We can be a child of God that hates that sin and wants to do what is right. I'd like us to read a few verses in 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7. And since verses 10 to 11. And the New King James has a little bit more understandable English in here, so I'm going to read it out of the New King James. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 10 to 11. But godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourself, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication, and all things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. Now, it doesn't say a word about the blood, but it talks about repentance, okay? There's no repentance without the blood of Jesus on our sins. And he said, you know, there's different ways of being sorry. And I've heard people, they were sorry they were caught. They were sorry that they looked bad. And, you know, and they were sorry about a number of things that I would say is worldly sorrow. But God said there's another way. There's a sorrow that worketh repentance. They're saying, you know what? I shame the cause of Christ. I fell into this sin. And I need to repent. I am so sorry I fell into this sin. And you know, when I hear people say that, God bless them. God bless any one of us, of you and us alike, that we say, look, I am thoroughly rid of that sin. I am disgusted with my sin. I'm totally sorry. And I heard that's happening some. Praise God when that happens. It needs to happen. Because that repentance brings no regret. It brings a confession of sin that leads to a clean life, a pure, cleansed life of sin. Now, some of the effects of this is quite amazing there. This person, you can tell by verse 11, they meant business with God. This was no half-hearted excusing type of thing. You can tell they thoroughly repented. They were sorry for sin. They had a hate for sin. They had an indignation for sin. And they were cleared because they had a strong desire never to go back again into that sin. You know, they had words like vehement desire, zeal, and vindication. You like that? That's what God expects in repentance, see? That's a humble way. That's the humble way. And that's the clearing God gets, that we can be clear. This is just the opposite of dead works. This is real, real heart attitude for redemption and clearing by the blood of Jesus. This is what he wants. This is what he will give to any of us. What a tremendous privilege that God cares about, that he can look down at your and my life and our slate, as it were, and see nothing but the blood of Jesus. How amazing. Nothing but the blood. No sins popping up. This one's unforgiven. That one's unforgiven. No, they're all beneath the blood because we can repent. What a tremendous blessing that is. I'd like to read a few verses now that speak about how what we get, the privilege we get to do from 1 John 1, 1 John 1, verses 5 to 10. 1 John 1, we like to be people of light, but there's real blessings in walking in the light, and it's a terrible thing to walk in darkness, but anytime we cover up our sin, excuse me, we're walking in darkness, where it says in 1 John 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declaring to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Isn't that an amazing figure? You sit there, you can talk about light and you can talk about darkness all day, and you know it won't get you off first base. It won't change your heart unless you rejoin. Because it explains what this means, and it's so meaningful. That's what God does. He said, if we say we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word of God is not in us. And that's very true. When we come to Jesus initially, I hope that each one of us can stand before Jesus and God Almighty this morning and say we have no sin on our slate that's not beneath the blood. I hope so. And I praise God we all can. We all can. It's all there. It's there. And you know what? If you're doing that, you're walking in the light. And if we're here at any time and we're covering up sin and this whole, and we know there's a condemnation, we're living in darkness. It's very plain. We don't want to live in darkness. No. We don't want to be deceived. No. We're open to the Spirit speaking to us. We want all of our sins beneath the blood, and we take it seriously to avail our lives to the privilege of forgiveness of sins. The potency. Did you see what it says? In there, cleanse us from all sin, all unrighteousness. Now, I've heard people say, I tell you, Claire, if you knew what all I did in my life, you know I can't forgive him. That's a lie from Satan. That's a lie from Satan. Jesus don't care how long you've been covering it up. He don't care how big it is. Jesus' blood can forgive your sins. I praise God for that. I also praise God that he don't care how small you make it. That's my tendency. You know, that person does a lot worse than me. It's a little thing. How small you make it, and so how much you shrink it down, and devil says, oh, it's just a little thing. Just forget it. He will still cleanse that sin too. If you acknowledge, you come and confess. He just loves to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only way that you will not be forgiven is through the unpardonable sin. And I think that's saying no and no and no to the Holy Spirit so long that he leaves you. That's an unpardonable sin. But I praise God as long as the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, and I praise God that he does. He says, you know what? You can come to me, and any sin you have, any lukewarmness, any vile problems, you know what? You bring it to Jesus, he'll cleanse your sin. He won't just cover it. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What a blessing. Now, what it says in Colossians 1, verses 14 and 20a, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things, everyone, unto himself. Yes, Jesus wants everyone to be his children. And the only way that we can be his children is by the blood of Jesus. There's no other way. That's why I said, you know, Jesus said, I'm the door. And I hear people say, I believe in Jesus. But if they haven't asked for forgiveness of sins, they're not one of his children. But I thank God, when we acknowledge him as our Savior and acknowledge our sin, he cleanses us from all sin. He forgives all confessed sin. What a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful testimony we can have before God. Yes, he cares about how we live, and he cares that our sins are beneath the blood of Jesus. And then it also shows, and Revelations 12, verses 11. I was looking for this one verse and couldn't find it. Some of the results. Now, this is a scene, eternal scene in heaven, and it talks about, listen to this closely. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcome him. The ones that have, now let me read on. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. You realize how profound that is? And you and we as saints overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. I thank God. There's some power about this. And I'll tell you what the power is. Have you ever noticed in your life, I've noticed in mine and in others too, whenever we dabble in sin or lukewarmness or excusing ourselves, we lose our spiritual power. You ever notice that? You ever notice that? Yeah, it tends to happen. But you know, you can't have sin in a closet in another department and not affect your spiritual life. It doesn't happen. It just does. It just does. And so I am glad that it says here very plainly that they overcome it by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. The blood was foremost in this Christian walk, and in our Christian walk, it is. It's first and foremost. It's there. It's up front. It gives us power because there is strength with knowing that I am walking clearly before God, and He can empower me because I am committed, totally sold out. All my sins are beat the blood. I mean business with Jesus. I love Him, and I hate sin, and I veil myself to the blood of Jesus, and it gives you a testimony. You don't have to beg for it. It just comes out. You're serving Him. You're speaking for Him. And you know what? When the test comes, you're standing for Jesus, and your life doesn't mean, your physical life doesn't mean that much to you. Because there might be a day that will be tested. And they'll say, you know what, whatever Jesus you want, I'm willing to go through. I want to meet my master. I want to meet my Lord. And so there again, we're back there. All my sins are beneath the blood. It's potent. It's highly potent. I take care of all my sins are beneath the blood. Potency. Have you ever looked at a Clorox bottle recently? I haven't looked at real recently, but if I remember correctly, through COVID, they said, like, this thing is 99%, kills 99% of germs. And you know what you think about? There's 1%. You know, I wonder which germs they didn't kill in. I wonder if that could, you know, make me sick. You know, it's 99% potent. You know, and could I get sick by that 1%? I'm sure you could, because if it's the wrong bug, you're going to get sick. But I tell you, see, Jesus' blood is totally potent. It isn't 99.9. It's 100% potent. And always remember that. It can take care of anything that comes up. And then you can overcome by the blood of Jesus. What a tremendous, tremendous blessing. I love a lot of songs, but there's a few I love more than others. One of my favorites, and I'm sad to say, it's, I just love it. I'd like us to look up 521 in Zion's Praises, Victory in Jesus. That's what we're talking about this morning, okay? We're going to sing the first stanza. You probably know it by heart. And if you do, that's fine. I'd like you to stand for change of posture, and we're going to sing verse 1. I heard an old, old story. Because of the blood of Jesus on my sins. What a tremendous blessing. Another scene in heaven. Revelation 7, 13 and 14. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence come they? And I hope you look forward to that day, brothers and sisters. White robes in heaven. Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's hard to get things white nowadays, and it sure is harder to keep them white. You know, but we can have white robes in heaven. I don't think we have to worry about them getting dirty. You know, it's going to be a wonderful day. And they said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said, these are they which come out of great tribulation, and they have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's amazing. That's better than any bleach you ever seen. You know, you can have sinful robes and they can be washed white. Do you imagine? When he looks down, he can see robes of righteousness because our sins are beneath the blood of Jesus. Oh, what a tremendous miracle. What a blessing. Now, when it says in Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And you know what that word forgiveness is? The same word, remission. Pardon, freedom. We have, through his blood, we have forgiveness of sins. Praise God for the blood of Jesus. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we're just here again, thankful that we can ponder anew the wonderful sacrifice of Jesus. And Lord, it makes us feel bad to think what he had to go through for my redemption and our redemption. But Lord, I'm so thankful he was willing to go to the cross and to bleed and die and suffer for my sins. Oh God, I thank you as we as your children here can rejoice in the cleansing blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray that this morning as we ponder this anew, as we partake of the emblems, Lord, give us a fresh, thankful hearts for Jesus. In his blessed name we pray. Amen.